the Word of God, there's one verse of Scripture in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel that the Lord has laid upon my heart to bring you a message from this morning. And I want to speak to you about a very serious and real matter, and that is on the subject of being religious but unsaved. You know, religion is one thing, salvation is something else. And here in this verse of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for every blessing. I thank you for the privilege of just being here this morning and the divine call to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and the authority through your church to preach the gospel and the means that you have provided through this radio station for us to preach the gospel on these airwaves. I thank you for each listener, for each place that allows the broadcast to come into, and I pray that you'd use it to be a blessing to hearers. We pray for the salvation of lost souls, for the upbuilding of your people, for strength and guidance for us all, for the forgiveness of our sins. I pray that you'd use me in your service, and I thank you for every opportunity to serve you. Help me to bring the message now that you'd have brought. May you be pleased and honored and glorified, and may your cause be built up in your kingdom here on earth. And we pray for the salvation of souls, and we pray for homes, for lives, wherever there's trouble and turmoil. We realize that we're living in those troublesome, perilous times. May we send forth the gospel that is a light into this dark world. In Jesus' name and for his sake I pray. Amen. These sons of Eli, as you Bible readers know, was a priest. And these sons of Eli were religious, but the scripture here says they knew not the Lord. And you know, Jesus is salvation. You have him, you have eternal life. You do not have him, you do not have life. But as John 3:36 says, the wrath of God abideth on you. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So whether you are saved or lost just simply is determined by whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. Now, all through history, you'll find that it has been the religious people that have persecuted God's people. It was religious people that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 12 and verse 37 says, "The common people heard him gladly." And I've been preaching for over 40 years now, and I've found that those without any religion, the immoral, the profane, that they will not oppose the work of God. They will not persecute the preachers and Christian workers. It is always the religious folks that do that. And one can be sincere and be wrong. The prophets of Baal, for instance, that opposed Elijah, they were very sincere. In fact, I read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 22 concerning them. They were very religious. But they certainly knew not the Lord, and proof of their religion is found in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, and in verse 28. "They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them." Now, they were very sincere, but they knew not the Lord. A person is surely sincere that will cry aloud and cut himself until the blood gushes out, as the scripture says that these false prophets did. So those sincere and emotional prophets of Baal, you remember, were all slain by the judgment of God. But when I look back at these sons of Eli, Eli was a very godly man. He was not a perfect man, as none of us are, but he was a very godly man. He set a good example before his sons. He prayed for his sons. He gave his sons good instructions, and he was, by divine grace, a leader of the people of God. But you see, his relationship with God was not passed on by birth or upbringing to his two sons. And when they grew up, they proved to be sons of Belial, or sons of the devil. And the same was true of Aaron years before this. Aaron, even though he was the priest, he could not pass the grace of God onto his sons. That's recorded back in Leviticus chapter 10, and verse 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now you cannot question but what God killed them because of what they did. See, you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb, regardless of who your parents are, if you are to be saved. And this is something that many times when I visit with someone and talk to them about the Lord, and they'll say, well, my dad was a deacon in a church, or talk about how faithful that their parents were or are, and all of that is well and good, but that does not do you any good, spiritually speaking, before the Lord. The sons of Eli had more advantages than most. They were exposed to sound teaching from the Word of God. They were exposed to a godly people. They no doubt took part in the services. They served in the house of the Lord. And I can think of many, even in my personal ministry, that fit into this category, that as they grew up in the house of the Lord, and took part as they could and were required to in the services. But after that they grew up, there was nothing in their life that shows that they had really come to know the Lord. The position of the sons of Eli did not bring salvation to them, and it does not bring salvation to any. You see, being the child of a preacher, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher, or church musician, or Christian singer, that in no way brings salvation to you. Salvation is a personal thing, and it's something between you and the Lord. Any individual who trusts in their services for salvation is just as lost as the heathen are, because the Scripture tells us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have an example in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, of individuals who stood before the Lord and pleaded their wonderful works, but still they went to hell. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, just because that you see someone do some miraculous thing is no proof that they have the sanction of God upon what they're doing. Because the Scripture says that in the last days there shall arise false prophets and false Christs, and shall show many wondrous works. So these said unto the Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus didn't reply to that question. He didn't say, no, you didn't do that. So evidently they had. But these individuals pleaded their wonderful works, And we really have no wonderful works. Jesus said that their wonderful works were actually works of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what man counted as wonderful works, our Lord said, were works of iniquity. The Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, speaks of the Lord, our righteousness. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we must have the Lord, who is our righteousness, in order to be acceptable in the sight of God. So attendance at the house of God does not save, because you can be sure that Eli's sons, the sons of the priests, that they were regular in their attendance at the Lord's house. And they had a head knowledge of the sacrifices, no doubt that they could answer all of the questions that would be asked of them concerning their religion, but they did not know the one to whom the sacrifices pointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can know the Bible and not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some today attend services regularly. They sing songs of redemption. They listen to preaching and yet do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. John Bunyan, I believe, said that some crawl over Calvary's cross on their way to hell. The sons of Eli had religion, but they did not have salvation, and it would have been better if they had not had this false hope. One of the things that troubles my heart today is to believe that there are people who believe that because that they measured up to certain moral standards and because that they had a religion, they believe that they're going to heaven. And it's going to be very sad when they come to the end of life's pathway, find themselves in the tortures and torments of a devil's hell, and one day stand before the great white throne judgment and realize that they are in hell because they did not have Christ Jesus as their own personal Savior. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, well, I'm satisfied with my religion. And let me say to you this morning that you're not the one to be satisfied with your religion. God is the one that must be satisfied. A good example of that from the Scripture is in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, where when Abraham and Elijah, he was taking, Abraham and Isaac, when he was taking Isaac up on the mountain of Transfiguration, to crucify him, to put him up on the altar of sacrifice. And, you know the account, if you read your Bible, of how that as they were going up to the mountain, that Isaac said, Father, behold the wood and the fire, but where is the ram for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself an offering. And so that's what God did in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. He provided an offering whereby that we could be saved by simple faith in him. And so there's no other way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way of salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have all manner of religion, but if you do not know Christ, you do not have a Savior. The sons of Eli had religion, but they did not have the Lord. And some go very far in their religion and yet remain lost. You know, Paul was a very religious person before he was saved. And he talked about his life before salvation, how that he persecuted the church of God and how that he thought that he was doing the Lord a service. And read in the Acts of the Apostles of a man named Felix, who was a Roman governor, went so far as to tremble at the word of the Lord, and yet he remained unsaved. In the 24th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, And in verse 24 and 25, we are told of him, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So he heard the gospel. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, as Paul preached on these things, on righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, the scripture says that Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And there's no record given of Felix ever coming to know the Lord. And there might be some listening this morning that there have been times in your life that you feared, and you may have been visibly shaken, but really inwardly your condition was not changed. And so I say to you this morning that emotionalism is not salvation. Some go so far as to believe the scriptures, and almost they would be a Christian, yet they are still lost. And we have a record of a man in this condition further in the book of Acts, in the 26th chapter of Acts, and verse 26, 27, and 28. We read of a king, "For the king knoweth of these things." Now, as he listened to the message from the Lord, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" And then Paul said, "I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So you can be almost persuaded to be a Christian and still not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is your only hope of heaven. You see, we came into this world sinners by nature. We have always been sinners. The psalmist said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Since my earliest existence, before I was ever conscious of anything, I was a sinner by nature. I was given that sin nature by my father, and he was given that by his father, and all the way back to Adam. So we come into this world with a sin nature. And Jesus Christ came to save from sin. And so our only hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ the Lord. It may be that someone to whom I speak this morning, that you may have gone as far as King Agrippa, and you may have been almost persuaded to be a Christian. Yet if you die in this condition, you will have your portion with the damned in the lake of fire and be tormented forever and ever. Listen to this verse of Scripture in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. When it tells us who will be the inhabitants of hell, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, who did it say? The fearful. Who do you suppose that is? Well, the fearful are those that are just afraid to come to Christ. They're afraid that the blood of Christ is not sufficient. They're afraid that they can't hold out. They're afraid of this or that. And the unbelieving, and, in the third chapter of John, verse 18, we're told, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the fearful and the unbelieving, and then with them the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, there will not be any of these that are mentioned here in heaven, because they'll be in hell. That is, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. But there will be people in heaven that have been these things. But the glorious gospel is that Christ died for our sins. And so those that have been these things by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are cleansed by His blood. Therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's all sin, past, present, and future. And so there'll be many in heaven that have been these that are mentioned that are in hell, but they're no longer that because they've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning about verse 9, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Keep listening now. "And such were some of you." But something happened, and here's what happened. He said, "Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So God, in salvation and regeneration, He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So praise God for our Savior, who is a Savior from sin, from all sin, from all kinds of sin. He took up on Him the iniquity of us all. Some even go farther than in religion and are still lost. For instance, King Ahab. You go back to the book of 1 Kings, and in chapter 16, and we read about this King Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning in verse 30. "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethel, a king of the Zodians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." A very wicked king. And even though he humbled himself, that could not save him. We read of that in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings and verse 27. "And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly." Even though Ahab humbled himself, that could not save him. The sons of Eli that were in our text, they had gone far in religion, but they were still lost. You may have been a church member for many years. I was a church member from the time that I was 11 years old until I was 29 years old. But I knew not the Lord. I was lost and undone. God knows our true condition. And of course, the sons of Eli, even though they'd gone far in religion, they were still lost, and God knew their true position. He said they were sons of Belial. And God knows our true position this morning. God knows that them that are His, the Scripture says. We may fool friends, we may fool family, but we can never fool God. And there's never been but one way to heaven, and that is by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." O my listener, this morning, Jesus Christ is our only hope of eternal life. In that second chapter of Ephesians, where I just quoted you a couple of verses there, verse 8, 9, and 10, I believe. In that second chapter, verse 1, he said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let me ask you this morning, have you had that experience? Do you remember a time when you were dead in trespasses and in sins? You are not alive to the things of the Spirit of God. But sometime God came to you, as it were, brought conviction to your heart and soul. You repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherein in time past, the Scripture says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have everlasting life. But without Him, you are condemned and living, abiding under the wrath of God. So I say to you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then when you're saved, serve the Lord in one of His churches. I want to thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you. And until we meet again, goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the radio services of the Portland Missionary Baptist Church of Plumerville with the Pastor Emeritus, Earl Smith. Listen next Saturday at 8 o'clock.